We're going to be looking tonight at 2 John, verses 7 through 13. I'm jumping to the midway point of 2 John because I want to do 2 John, verses 1 through 6, as part of the second canon, Authentic Family Around the Whole Gospel. That's a passage I want to do in 4 or 5 weeks on Sunday morning. But as we just finished 1 John, I'd like us to just, this is a very short book, I'd like us to look at this particular passage with this question in mind, 2 John 7 through 13. What should be our posture towards heretics? That's a word we don't use a lot. It sounds like an old medieval word, and it is. But by heretics, I mean people who hold to a distorted, perverted, false view of the gospel, whose teachings would, if given free rein in the church, lead to the destruction of the church. How should we respond when you are confronted with a person who, say, denies one of the cardinal tenets of our faith? Now, 2 John picks up right where 1 John ended, which is a discussion of that question. How should the church respond to false teachers? There's a guy named Philip Lee who wrote a book entitled Against the Protestant Gnostics a few years ago. And he said that in our day, so it's really a very good book, I commend it to you. But he said the problem is in our day, people don't even believe that heresy exists because everyone's so tolerant and open-minded that if everything's right, then nothing's wrong. You know what I mean? And this is what he says. Is it possible to speak of heresy in our time? Even to utter the word might seem to be a retreat into a darker age. Heresy evokes memories of the Spanish Inquisition, the martyrdoms of Joan of Arc, John Huss, and countless other victims of religious tyranny. It also brings into our consciousness ridiculous spectacles of Protestant orthodoxy, such as those described in Burns's Holy Willie's Prayer, which you should read if you have not. Certainly there is, in our reluctance to accept the notion of heresy, a legitimate caution. Yes, our divisions in the past have been destructive. Yes, the cruelties and self-contradictions of the Church of Jesus have been a scandal. Yes, our lack of tolerance towards Christians and others has been a disgrace. It is true that within Christianity there should be room for diversity. According to the Gospel of Mark, Jesus himself had occasion to remind the disciples, "He that is not against us is for us." There are, however, limits to creative diversity. At some given point, a teaching, an idea, or an action which claims to be Christian is so utterly different from the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints that it becomes the opposite of Christianity. Meaning, some things are just so wrong they should not be tolerated. There is such a thing as heresy. There is such a thing as dangerous false belief. And what should be our posture towards it? Two things. Number one, we must watch ourselves when it comes to heresy. We must watch ourselves when it comes to heresy. First of all, in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This lets us know the primary doctrinal thrust of what the false teachers were saying. They were denying that Jesus had come in the flesh. Such a one, meaning someone who would deny the incarnation, that God had come in flesh, such a one is a deceiver and the Antichrist. This is exactly what John writes in 1 John when he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. That's from 1 John 4. So John has said this before. What the church was facing at that time were a group of false teachers who were denying that Jesus was God in flesh. And there has always been that challenge in Christian history. There have always been people who have tried to deny that Jesus was God in flesh. And against these people, John says this in verse 8, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Watch yourselves. A.T. Robertson said that that Greek phrase is similar to the English phrase, look out. So what's the first posture we should have towards heretics? We should be diligent. Watch yourself. Why? Because heresy is extremely subtle. No heretic ever wakes up and says, hey, it's Tuesday, I think I'll become a godless, hell-bound, false teacher. It never happens. Most people inch themselves into heresy one little doctrinal concession at a time. And we don't have time to break all of this down, but you can see this in the history of denominations. Show me a denomination that began to compromise on biblical truth on point A, and I'll show you a denomination that 20 years later will be doing things no one could have imagined 20 years before. And that is the story of liberalism within American Christianity, isn't it? Liberalism always begins with a little concession, then it ends up with an outright denial. Had they seen the outright denial from the first step, they wouldn't have done it. They would have said, we abhor that. But the reality is, this is how it works. Sometimes it comes from a good motivation. T.S. Eliot, the poet, wrote a book about Christianity called Christianity and Culture. He said this, heresy is often defined as an insistence upon one half of the truth. It can also be an attempt to simplify the truth by reducing it to limits for our ordinary understanding instead of enlarging our reason to the apprehension of truth. So think about it. You might say, well, let me try to make the gospel more simple. So what you do is you begin to remove aspects of the gospel that you think might be a hindrance. By the time you're done with it, you end up with just basic ethical teachings. But let me remind you that when all is said and done, whatever Jesus said and did meant more than, hey, just be nice to each other. Right? Jesus came for the cross. And in order to accomplish what he had to accomplish on the cross, he had to be God in flesh. Do not apologize for the offensive doctrinal aspect of our faith. We believe God was born of a virgin in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Either you're ready to say that looking someone straight in the face or you're not. If you're not, don't call yourself a Christian. Preach! Just do it myself, so no one else will. I've always wanted to do that. I've wanted to like turn the tables on y'all. Sit! Sit! That's what it's like when you're preaching. It's like, preach, sit, stare, stare. Okay. Cake coming, honey. Kierkegaard put it like this. He said, the apostasy from Christianity will not come about openly by everybody renouncing Christianity. No, but slyly, cunningly, knavishly. By everybody assuming the name of being Christian, thinking that in this way, all were most securely secured against Christianity. The Christianity of the New Testament, he says, which people are afraid of. I love that. So the first thing we must do is be diligent. We must be fastidious in separating ourselves from heresy. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. So he says there are two things we should not do. Number one, don't receive a heretic. Number two, don't greet a heretic. But I want to put two qualifications on this. First of all, this kind of radical posture of closing the door, hanging up the phone, not responding to the text, this doesn't apply to a brother or sister with whom you have a disagreement on secondary matters. Doesn't mean you look at your godly Methodist neighbor who disagrees with you about baptism and say, die, heretic, and slam the door. The people he's talking about are people who deny Jesus is God and who want to destroy the church. So first of all, please see the distinction between a person who is a follower of Christ with an orthodox view of the gospel with whom you might have a disagreement. See the distinction between that person with whom you can have a fraternal disagreement and the person who says, Jesus isn't God, I'm going to take this church down. There are people to hang up on. There are people that doors should be shut on. But secondly, and finally, notice this. Even this can't be seen as a call for no interaction at all, because the moment you see that someone is not a brother or sister, they then move into an evangelistic position where you should be presenting the gospel to them as a lost person. So what is John saying? He's saying, don't enter into a relationship as if nothing is wrong to such an extent that a heretic is welcome into your home and can therefore distort the purity of your faith. But what he is saying is this: when a person abandons the faith, your posture towards them changes. Now you reach out to them as a lost person. Let me remind you that we are called to shut the doors on heretics, but not on lost people. The heretic is a lost person who needs you to go to them and tell them about Jesus. But what you don't do is act as if everything's fine. It's cool. It's cool that you deny the deity of Christ. No problem. Let's have cake. I got to be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to cake. I don't know if I've mentioned that. But if you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you should probably just eat a piece out in the yard. You're welcome for that. No, the point is, don't act like nothing's wrong. Someone who wants to destroy a church is not someone you should want to go on a long camping trip with. Unless you are going on that trip to try to reach them for Jesus. But not to act like your brothers with no problem at all. Acknowledge the problem and reach them. Be careful. Be careful. I want to close with the words from Paul from Galatians 1, verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you, want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. We are Americans. We want to be nice. We want to be sweet. We want to be kind. We want to avoid the awkward confrontation of having to look someone in the eye, because the only sin in modern American latitudinarian culture is to say to someone, you're wrong. But let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ is God, it is wrong to say he's not. And in the love of Christ, we must say that. Guard your hearts. Watch what you read. Watch what you watch. Don't let false teachings seduce you away from the purity of the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. It challenges us, speaks to our hearts. And Father, in these brief moments we've had together, remind us, if we lose the gospel, we've lost everything. If we as a church lose the gospel, we are no longer a church. We would like to be kind, but we would also like to have convictions. So teach us how to be both. Father, give us spines, backbones, convictions, beliefs from which we do not waver. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We are going to have a time of